My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster extraordinaire Evan Jenkins. We're all about drafts. We're all about prospects. We're all about the future. The Tigers' minor league season basically winding down. West Michigan's done playing. Lakeland's in their playoffs. And you've got Toledo and Erie kind of playing out the string. So we know what the Tigers farm system is now. We got a real good idea of what happened in 2024. And obviously, it's been a surprise here at the end of the season. Obviously, at the major league level, and a lot of it has to do with the prospects. But I think, Evan, when you're talking about player development, it's been an excellent year for the Tigers. They really have done a really good job of developing legitimate prospects, even guys that were borderline prospects, being prepared once they got into the major leagues, particularly a group of pitchers that was quite surprising after they traded Flaherty at the trade deadline and lost Reese Olson. And nationally, they're getting a lot of love. Now, here's the thing. I kind of wonder if maybe they're getting too much love nationally. Jim Bowden has Max Clark is like the top prospect in baseball. I wouldn't go that far with Max Clark yet. Honestly, I think he showed a lot this year and bounced back from a slow start, which here on this podcast, we got on him a little bit about and did pretty well when he went up to West Michigan. But, you know, I wouldn't say he's, you know, reached the point where you'd say he's another Jackson Holliday or something.
Right.
That type of thing. I think Jackson Jobe is the real deal. And all the love that he's getting, he deserves. And it'll be interesting to see how he does if they give him a start or two in AAA. I would give him a start in the major leagues. Why not? But, all of a sudden the Tigers are playing for something, and you can't tell me he's not one of their, you know, top dozen pitchers in their organization. They're going to do things the way they want to do it. I understand. I thought Tyrone Lorenzo showed a lot with the bat, not much as a catcher. And the Trey Sweeney thing has been a revelation. Yeah. I think we're now finding out that why Trey Sweeney was a 20th overall pick in the draft by the Yankees. And the Dodgers traded for him. And it looks like the Tigers are going to get the benefit of Trey Sweeney. Is Trey Sweeney their shortstop of the future, or do they have to go out and fill that position? And I think things have been crystal clear this year on a number of different levels. I don't think they have their third baseman in Jace Young. And I don't think they have their first baseman necessarily in Spencer Torkelson. And I don't see where they've got somebody that you can necessarily put in those spots for next year. Yet, obviously, Young and Torkelson, depending on how you feel about it, he's showing it. 31 home runs in a year, 23 and a half a season. It depends on how you look at them. They still have some upside offensively, and it's really not fair to Chase Young. But I, you know, a lot of people say, "Hey, go! You got to go out and get Alex Bregman. You got to do something like that." They may have to do that if they want to contend right away. So, are you going to be comfortable with them just going with the kids when it comes down to their infield, or are you looking at it like, "Hey, they got to go out and get somebody on the offensive end"? I clearly think they'll get a couple pitchers, because there's more availability and more reasonability with contracts. There's a dearth of position players. It's always hard to find somebody, and you always have to overpay with term. You know, somebody like Bregman's 30 years old, but he's clearly trending down in his career. He's not the same player he was before, but he's still pretty good. You know, he ended this year with about a 4 WAR after a slow start. But I don't know. How are you going to factor that in? And he hasn't hit that well at Comerica Park in his sample size. 222, you know, like a 700 OPS. He's hit 4 home runs there, so he's shown some power. But would you go out and get Bregman, or would you trust Chase Young in the process that Scott Harris did? And give Scott Harris credit. All the angst about, hey, they should have gone out and got this guy and that guy. They're going to end up with a pretty good record this year, even if they don't make the playoffs, which is highly unlikely.
Yeah, I think the most intriguing player to me, and probably to a lot of people here in Detroit, is how long is that leash going to be with Spencer Torkelson at first base and just being on the team? I mean, just as we speak right now, he's, you know, 3 for his last 22 over the last week. And it's just, it doesn't feel to me that the hitting's going to come back for him. And I just, you know what I'm saying, Pat? If he doesn't show much power the rest of the year, and then starts next year like he did this year, I feel like you almost got to cut bait, don't you?
Well, do you give him next year?
And that's my question. And I feel that they will, because of where he was drafted, yada, yada, yada. I mean, he makes little to no money in Major League Baseball terms.
Well, he's getting to the point where arbitration eligibility is coming into play.
Yeah. I think there's so many questions with him. I do think that Harris is going to stick with Young at third, just hoping that an offseason of practice, of getting major league games under his belt, that he's going to start the year at third. I still wonder about Cole Keith at second. I know we've talked about that at length through this entire season. Is he a second baseman of the future, or does he have – first baseman written all over him? I do like the moxie that he's shown this year. Now, he has had, you know, some stretches where he hasn't performed as well, but I mean, that's Major League Baseball for a young player. That's probably going to happen 9 times out of 10. The Jackson Jobe thing, I mean, AJ Hinch was on 97.1 The Ticket this morning, and he says they have zero conversations about Jobe even pitching up here, which I think is kind of highly unlikely that they haven't even discussed it. But it's just, I wonder too, Pat, is with the success that they've had with their pitching staff and the way that they're using their pitching staff, if they're going to try to do this next year too, because of the success that they had.
It might be. The first 2 years Harris has been here, he signed 2 veteran pitchers.
Yeah.
The first year it was Michael Lorenzen, who worked out like a charm. And then they flipped him at the trade deadline and got, I think, their best second base prospect in Ho-Yu Lee. Although he's been hurt here, I mean, for 21 years old, he was terrific in the Eastern League this year. And then this year, of course, and then they had Matthew Boyd, who got hurt, right?
Yep.
And then this year, it was Jack Flaherty, who was absolutely terrific. And you got to give their pitching coaches credit on a number of different levels. And the other one was Maeda, who's really struggled, although he's been a little better in the bullpen. So will they do the similar type of thing going into next year? Again, it goes down to the 1-1 guys, Torkelson and Mize. What do you think of Casey Mize? All right, Casey Mize is now in the arbitration-eligible group. The second year after Tommy John surgery is usually the year the pitcher's back, sometimes better than ever. He is throwing the ball well in terms of velocity. Is Casey Mize going to be that guy next year to put in the rotation? I mean, right now, you got Scooble, you got Montero, you got Reese Olson, is Mize a guy, or do you have to go out and get another one of those veteran guys? And would you expect a bounce back? And I don't know. I've watched Brock Herder and Hanifee and Ty Madden. Some of this stuff is freakish, Evan. Like, for example, Holton, who they got for basically nothing. All right, he has a 7.02 ERA at AAA. They call him up. His ERA is like a 2. And he's been one of the best relievers in baseball. I can't figure that out. Ty Madden, 8.32 ERA. And he is up here, 2.57 in a couple starts as the bulk guy in these bullpen days. Mm-hmm. None of these guys were that good. Reese Olson was a 6.30. And since they called him up, 3.61 ERA. I mean, that's what their ERAs were at the time. And what it tells me is that they're real good at preparing for the opposition and how to pitch them, where to place their fielders, the approach, and they put them in positions where they can be successful.
Yeah.
We're using their analytics. And it says a lot about Chris Fetter. Chris Fetter is the baseball
version.
He's the
MVP version of this team, man.
He's the Ben Johnson of the baseball. And nobody talks about it, but my gosh, him and his pitching coaches and what they're doing at the major league level, it's freaking amazing.
Yeah, doesn't the writing on the wall appear that Casey Mize will be the odd man out? I'm just looking at, like, all the tea leaves from, before the season. They were fighting over, like, 20 grand or something like that.
50 grand, yeah.
And in baseball terms, I mean, that's you and me arguing over $5.
And then they put him on the IL for 60 days.
Which he did not want to go on. He didn't think that he should be on it for that long.
No, he was.
It makes you wonder because, I mean, yes, Scott Harris did not draft this guy. But, I mean, Scott Harris is still given every opportunity in the world to Spencer Torkelson and also didn't draft him. But he also didn't draft a lot of the guys that are the young players that are performing for the Tigers. You know, he wasn't responsible for Green or Carpenter or Keith or any of those guys that you're seeing right now. And God, Pat, I would just love to be a fly on the wall when they sit there with Harris and Hinch and all the powers that be to wonder how they're going to go look at this roster coming into next year, because there are going to be some tough decisions to make. Because you're right, with Reese Olson coming back, Montero, it looks like he's going to be a starter for this team next year. And it's just, can they maintain from year over year? Because are they more – and also, Pat, I got a question about AAA, because with those high ERAs in AAA, wins and losses, I'm going to guess, aren't that important in the grand scheme of things. Is it
well,
more important?
Obviously, Evan. Toledo's a well below 500 team, and all these dudes that they called up from Toledo, like Parker Meadows played there a lot, Torque played there a lot, Young played there a lot, Herder and Hanifee, and you name it, these guys were pitching there. And their record is below 500.
Yeah, so is it almost like they're using that as, like, work on your stuff down here and then go take it to the major leagues and use it?
I think there's a point to it. I think there's a point to it when you get them in the major leagues. You can also identify what the opposition is presenting as hitters and give them a lot more information in a practical sense they can apply to the game. They have a lot of that at AAA, but not to the same degree that they have it in the major leagues. This is actually, I think, a tribute to their analytics department and the way it's working with its pitching staff and the manager, that they are able to do this to the degree they are. Because there's a lot of advantage to those bullpen days. And Tampa Bay and Oakland for years did this.
Yes.
And were very successful with it. And I think if you've got a balance of that, they're fourth in the league they're fourth in Major League Baseball in ERA.
And it's crazy to think about the way that they're just, I mean, they're patching games together. They really, really are. You would think that this team is the Chicago White Sox with the way they're putting their pitching staff out there.
It's just unbelievable.
It really is. And I mean, you go look at, like, what was it, a couple years ago that the Rays, they were doing the starter or and pitching them one inning and changing it up.
No, they've done that for years.
And it's just,
Oakland did it for years. And when they would win 90 some games.
Yeah. And I just, I feel that, you know, Scott Harris always talked about when the core is here, we'll start spending and start going. I think the core is here, Pat, and I think that they need to kind of go for it. I'm not saying go break the bank on every single free agent, but there are holes which we can identify, so obviously they can identify.
Let's do this today on this. What is the Tigers' core?
I think it's Riley Green. I think it's Colt Keith. I think it's Kerry Carpenter. I think it's Reese Olson. I think it doesn't have to be all positional, right? I think it's Jace Jung. I think it's Parker Meadows. I believe it is. Sweeney, I don't really know. And then at catcher, we don't really know. But then, you know, Scoobal's part of it. I think they have eight guys right now that are really part of that core.
I would say, obviously, Green, obviously, Carpenter. I think, obviously, Parker Meadows. He's so good defensively. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
It is. I think Colt Keith, obviously. And I think Scoobal, obviously. I would put Reese Olson in there. Very successful. I would say that those are the guys. I'm not sure on Young. I'm not saying he isn't, but I'm not saying – I wouldn't certainly say he's a core guy. And I think third base right now is a problem. Sweeney's promising and could be somebody that you could give the job to if he can play above replacement level. Certainly it would be better than what they got from Javi Baez throughout the year. By the way, Tiger fans are amazing. You know, I talk to them after these games all the time. Tigers are playing well. All they want to do is bag on Javi, you know, dance on his baseball grave. But obviously it's addition by subtraction, and I think they should buy him out. I've said that all along. But after that, I don't – and I think Matt Verling is for a couple more years.
He's in his prime of his prime. They really like him.
Yeah, well, he's a good player. So they got a good outfield. Mm-hmm. I think their catching will be adequate with Rogers and Dingler. I don't know if it's going to be great, but I think it's going to be adequate. And you can upgrade that a little bit in the offseason without necessarily making a big splash. But they have to address their infield. They have to address first base and third base. I think that's very, very important for them moving forward. So, but anyway, enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to subscribe to us on the Apple iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, of course, Odyssey.com, download. You can get our podcast, Bustin' Balls, here about drafts, prospects in the future on Pat Caputo 98 on X. Evan's X page, the king of the gentmen or whatever it is.
Gentmen Jenkins.
I haven't gotten that one down yet. And, of course, our Facebook and our Facebook at 97.1 The Ticket. I throw it up on my Facebook page when I think about it. I don't think much about Facebook, to be honest with you, unless I'm looking up memories from my past in my high school. And all those different things. We appreciate you very much. Podcast is doing well, and it's doing well because of you all. So appreciate it. And until next time, we'll see you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.